Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
But I want us to behold him this week through his joy. Through his joy. You see, beholding Christmas joy changes our lives. And we need to, as a church, as the church, not just as a church, as the global church, come back to the whole aspect of beholding him. We need to behold him. We need to behold him so that we become more and more like him. So let us pray. Father, we thank you that right now we can come together and we can behold you. We can behold Jesus. We can behold Holy Spirit. And we ask right now that Holy Spirit, you will come and reveal, that you will enlighten, that you will edify us, that you will also equip us in this day. I break open this word. And I pray that each one that hears the word will be able to receive and live out as we behold. In Jesus' name, amen. I start off with a question. Is joy part of God's character? Is joy a fundamental characteristic of God? A characteristic that is essential to his nature. Some of us say yes, some of us are unsure, some of us couldn't care. No, I'm only kidding. Okay. I would answer this with a very, very definite yes. However, when we look through the many works of the characteristics of God, the topic of joy is not often found. It's not often found. Even in Wikipedia. Wikipedia, there's a list of 28 characteristics of God. Guess what? Joy is not included. Joy is not included. But as you ponder through Scripture, you see that joy should be an inclusion. You see, God is not a grumpy deity that is looking for someone to smite. He's not a grumpy person that is waiting to just slap you across the ear hole when you make the wrong turn. He is actually a joyous father, a joyous God. He takes delight in the work of his hands. And as we go through Scripture, Scripture tells us that there is actually a rejoicing in heaven when a lost one is saved. So as each one of you put up your hand and said, I want to follow Jesus and make him the Lord and Savior of my life, heaven erupted in joy. Now the question that I have is, surely this joy is led by the God who created the one who responded to the salvation call. Surely it comes from him. As the leader goes, so the followers go. As the head goes, so the body goes. Yes? So I want to unpack this joy today. I want to unpack it, and I want us to go through Scripture. And as you know, I love Scripture. I really do. I love. Take notes. Write down Scripture that you can go through it yourself. But I'm going to try and unpack a number of Scriptures to build the case that the fact joy is a characteristic of God. Therefore, as we behold him, so we should also be joyous. Some of you need some joy right now. That's better. I do like interaction and I do like some smiles. Is that good? Are we ready for this journey? Great. So if you got your Bibles, I hope you do. 1 Timothy 1 verses 9 to 11. This is where we're going to be reading from. 1 Timothy 1, 9 to 11. I'm going to read it for you. realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane. I mean, how many times do they have to repeat themselves with different words? For those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Now, when we look at that word blessed, that's the word I want to highlight here. When we look at, there's a lot of negatives before that. But when you come to the blessed God with which I have been entrusted, that word blessed is the same term Jesus uses on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this is what's significant about it. Blessed, in a number of translations, that word blessed is translated as blessed. But J.B. Phillips and a number of other translations translate that same word as happy. Now, if I had to put happy in that scripture, it would read, glorious gospel of the happy God. Of the happy God. That's a strange terminology right there. Of a happy God. That word bless is makarios, which is also translated as happy. So 1 Timothy 1:11 could be translated the happy God. Ever heard of God as good? Ever heard of God as in a good mood? Yes? He's always in a good mood. Why is he always in a good mood? Because he's a happy God. He's a joyful God. It feels awkward, right? But biblical theology does not prohibit it. Biblical theology does not prohibit it. For the same reason that we think that the characteristic of God is love, we do need to think of the characteristic of joy being part of God as well. He is a happy God. God has been happy. Let me put another verse on the table, which everybody knows. The what of the Lord is our strength? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Many believers have thought that that joy there refers to a joy that God gives, and which is right. It's right. It's a joy that God gives. But I want to come and I want to put something on the table. It's also, if God gives, God has to possess it to give it. Am I right? God has to possess it to give it. But you know what as well? God actually experiences joy. So he doesn't only give it to you, but he possesses it and he experiences it. It's part of his character. God gives us joy because he is joyful, or he is full of joy. He gives us joy. He gives you and me joy because he is full of joy. He is the source of joy just as he is the source of love. He is the source of truth. He is the source of mercy, etc., etc., etc. Joy is both a description of God and a description of what he gives. Good preaching, JJ. Another way to look at it, God took pleasure in his creation. Am I right? If you don't know this, if you go and look at Genesis 1, 7 times it says, and God saw that it was good. 7 times in verse 4, verse 10, verse 12, verse 17, 21, 25, 31. He says, and God saw that it was good. In other words, if I can put something on the table, he found joy in his creation. I want to suggest that Moses comes. Moses repeatedly tells us that God saw his creation to be good. He was trying to help us understand that God found joy in what he had made and what he had seen. Just yesterday, we had the Volunteers Appreciation Function event, party, boogie, whatever you want to call it. It was amazing. Anybody there? Anybody enjoy it? I see 3 hands. Oh my gosh, Sal, we're going to have to do something better next year. I don't know. And no, why? It was great. It was good fun. But at the appreciation event, I heard over and over again how good the food was and especially the gelato was. People were saying, my gosh, this is good. guess what? They found joy in not only seeing the food, but tasting the food. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Yeah? Joy. God created and he found joy in his creation. And girl, she's a virgin. This is Christmas, yes? But he is also the savior of the world. Look at your neighbor and say, he is the savior of the world. Not your wallet or your credit card. You see, Jesus brought joy to the earth. Yes? Yes, are you with me? Jesus brought joy to the earth. Why am I saying this? Because when you go through scripture, we see that there is this incomparable joy. There's this incomparable feeling of happiness that can be experienced in life referred to as joy. It's not the ha-ha joy that we think of. It's a supernatural joy that was brought to the earth in the unique way when God took on human form and became the savior of the world. Thus, he was born of a peasant virgin, but was still the savior of the world. Okay. Matthew 22, verses 10 to 11 says this to us. It's going to be on the board. It's referring to the three wise men. If you don't know who the three wise men is, come back next week. You'll see them in real life. There's a number of wise men in here. I've just got to re-clarify that. Okay, I was corrected. Matthew 10 to 11. And when they saw, these are the wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with joy. Oh, they see a star and they rejoiced exceedingly with, not just with joy, with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. They had not yet even seen the baby. This is important. We think they walked in and went, oh, isn't he cute? He's just, don't we all coo over babies when babies come in? Yes. They had not even seen the baby yet. I'm a little bit passionate today, all right? They had not seen the baby yet, but they were rejoiced. They were filled with great joy. Now, that word great joy is charon megalon in the original Greek. It describes the amazement of the wise men when they saw the star. When they saw the star come to rest over the place where the child was, they experienced an exceeding, a supernatural joy, a great joy. Who would have thought a star would make somebody happy? Another example of Jesus bringing great joy, Luke 2, verses 10 to 11. Luke 2, verses 10 to 11. And it says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Here the angels are. The angels appear to the shepherds. You would think those shepherds would be freaking out. All of a sudden, these beings are lighting up the sky. They come in, and there's this person who just appears and says, I bring you good news of great joy. But you know what happened right at that point in time? It says further in verse 11, for unto you is born this child in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's again, that word is charon megalon. You know what the shepherds do? They get up. They're so excited, and they start running into this place where this baby is born. That's the effect of great joy. Great joy brings you to a place of action. Brings you to a place of action. Luke uses the same phrase for the great joy because of Jesus Christ. I bring you good news of great joy. Shepherds are ecstatic. The entire bit of Luke, everywhere he reminds you of Jesus' ministry bringing joy to people's life. The first miracle was what? Turning water into wine. Hey, that would make those people. This is not what I was saying. This was just clarifying. All right. So the first Jesus bringing joy to people's lives. All right. Then he brought people back from the dead. Who knows a mother would really be happy if her son was brought back to life, yes? She wouldn't just be going, oh, fantastic. That's pretty amazing. Well done on you. Who's your name again? Jesus. Oh, yeah, great, great. No, she would be really excited. Okay. But you know what? This is a supernatural joy. This is a joy that they didn't expect. This is not a ha-ha joy. This is a real good joy. But the greatest joy of Jesus' ministry, the greatest joy, can anybody even guess what the greatest joy was? He saved people from their sin. He brought about salvation. That is the greatest joy of Jesus' ministry. He saved people from their sin. This is not a physical healing. This is not a physical raising from the dead. This is a supernatural healing with the most powerful part of Jesus. On the joy of God, where? At the cross. At the cross. Hebrews 12:2, write this one down. He says, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Hello. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. Ha ha, this is going to be great. Stan, it's going to be a good... No, it's not. We're not talking about that joy. You can imagine, it says that even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating blood at that time, knowing that what was before him. But here in Hebrews 12:2, it says that he set before him the joy. The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Jesus was able to endure the horrific pain, the torture of the cross, by focusing on what? The supernatural joy. What was the joy that he was focusing on? He knew that as he drank the cup of God's wrath at the cross, it would bring supernatural joy to the Father, because that was the mission that he was on. You see, this joy is powerful, people. It can overcome every difficulty in life. It is this joy that makes it possible for Christians to endure the worst trials in life. Go and read James 1. If you're going through a tough time, let me tell you, brother, let me tell you, sister, let me tell you, friend, you need the joy of the Lord. Because the joy is what it is that will give you the strength. Not just a ha-ha joy, but the supernatural joy of the Father. The supernatural joy of the Father. What was the subject of Jesus' joy? Guess what it was? It was you and it was me. Because he knew that as he went and he was crucified, you and I would be reconciled with the Father and we would be sons and daughters of the Most High God once again. Come on, let's give him a praise offer there. You and I were the function. You and I were in his eye right at that point in time. He knew he had to endure that pain. He knew that his body had to be smited. His body had to be hit to smithereens. Why? So that he could die. So that his blood could be poured out. So that he could be the ultimate sacrifice. So that you and I could live the life that we have today. It's time. It's time to live in that joy. It's time that the body of Christ stops walking around like this and starts walking around with, I know the Father I have. I know the one. I know the one who has bought me. I walk in his power because Holy Spirit is with me. I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I do all the things that Jesus does and some, because he said we would do greater things than what he did. It's time, church. It's time. Whew. I'm preaching it. Thanks. You're amazing, my wife. That's why I married you. I just want to say that. All right, disciples. Settle down, JJ. Settle down. Disciples, what was the last great joy? What was the last great joy? You won't believe this. There's another great joy. Jesus gathers his disciples, yeah? And then he decides, okay, see you later, mate. We'll see you going. And he's going. Off he goes to heaven. And he leaves his disciples behind. Now, you would think that at that moment, can you imagine walking with Jesus? You're walking with Jesus. You spend 3 years with him. And then all of a sudden, he's like, okay, I'm leaving you. See you later. I would not be happy. I don't know about you. I'd be going, oh, whoa. I need you. I want you to stay. I don't want you to go. Listen to this. Luke 24:50-54. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them, off he goes, and was carried up to heaven. They worshipped him. They worshipped him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Anybody read that before? I think I read it when I was preparing this week. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Why? And then it says, and we're continually in the temple blessing God. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Why? Why with great joy? Can I suggest? Because he had deposited his joy within him, within them, number one, and they realized that in the pain of moment, the unknown, the despair, that the joy of the Lord was their strength. Can I say that again? The side's a little bit quiet. I believe that they knew because they're human. I reckon they wouldn't have just gone, oh, yeah, great. Oh, no, he's gone. You know, we're going to be all right. No. I don't think they thought that. I think they knew that there was persecution coming their way. But they knew in their despair of him going, the one who guided him, the one that told them what to do, in that moment, in that unknown, they turned to what he had taught them, what he had deposited in them, and they stood on the fact that the joy of the Lord is their strength. That's a word for somebody in this place today. That's a word. It's time for you to take that and go, you know what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Because they returned to Jerusalem with no depression. There was no doubt. There was no bitterness. There was no, oh, he left us. There was none of that. They knew they had supernatural work to do. They knew that he was with them. They knew that there was nothing to be afraid of. They knew that they had the joy of the Lord. The joy that is not dependent on circumstances. Now that's a word. Right there, I can put the mic down and we can all go home. Sing Kumbaya tonight. Don't let your joy be dependent on your circumstances. Jesus' joy was not dependent on his circumstances. If he looked at his circumstances, my gosh, he was going to the cross to be crucified. It wasn't dependent on his His joy was dependent on the one, the source of joy. And that's how come as we behold him. As we behold him, guess what? We will be joyful. He says in John 15:11, this is going to be on the screen, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Your joy cannot be full if his joy is not in you, people. This is scripture. This is not what JJ is saying. Jesus told his disciples they would have joy. Whose joy? His joy. This Christ-likeness, this beholding him. Jesus points to the way that the divine quality and character is possessed and given only by God. It turns the mourning into dancing. Here's a question. When do you dance? When your circumstances are good. Do you dance through your trials and your tribulations? Do you dance through your hurdles? We should dance all the time with joy. Break out the boogie. We should dance all the time. I don't. I confess, I don't. I only want to go into woe is me. I do. As many times I want to go into woe is me because then I feel better about myself. But you know, this is not what it's about. So my encouragement to you, and I want to start bringing this to an end. There's still some time to go, so don't relax. Keep your notebooks out. But here's my encouragement. 2023 is coming to an end. 2024 is knocking at the door. Why don't we just leave 2023 behind and make the decision to walk into 2024 and behold Him, behold His love, behold His joy. Walk in that joy. Why don't we in this time just come to a point where we say, you know what, Lord, I lay everything of 2023 behind. I want to walk into this 2024 with something new, something fresh. He'll help you. I really believe He'll help you. He will help you. You see, Christmas is about Christmas joy. It's not just about trees and gifts and sparkles and buying presents. It's about the joy of the Lord. Because joyfully, God He watched on as Jesus was born in a manger. Joyfully, He raised Him from the dead. Joyfully, He seated Him on His right-hand side. Joyfully, He rejoices when you turn to Him at salvation. Joyfully, He waits for you each morning in your prayer closet. I call it a throne room. I'm not referring to the toilet. Just had a clarity. I was asked that question yesterday. No, it's my prayer room, all right? So when I talk about the throne room, it's my prayer room, all right? He waits for you in the prayer closet. He joyfully gushes all over you when you love your neighbor and work colleague and friend. I just see Father, He's just cooing all over you as you love on the one that does not yet know Him. He joyfully smiles upon you as you climb into bed each night, exhausted after a day of adventures with Him. He joyfully waits for you to wake up again with great anticipation to do it all over again with a new day. I had this picture as I was writing that at like 10 o'clock last night. I had this picture of Him sitting on the bed and you're sleeping and He's watching you and you stir and He gets all excited. And then you go back to sleep again. And your alarm goes off because you're meant to get up for prayer. And He's standing and He's waiting. And then you turn off and you snooze and you go back to bed. And then He waits a little longer and he's excited because He knows that you're going to commune with Him. And He knows that you're going to have spend time with Him. And then you get up and you're late and you rush out and Jesus, help me today. And you get in the car and He's going, it's okay, I'll be with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. But I saw this picture of Him waiting joyfully to spend time with you. Know that He is joy. Know that He is joy. And it's on this joy that we are strong. The core of our strength comes from His joy. It stems from His supernatural joy.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.